This is Transmission, a bilingual digital marketing podcast presented by Alphaco Marketing and Media. Hello and welcome to Transmission. This is an Alphaco podcast. Everybody, really excited to be joining you this week, second day here of May that we're recording. Hopefully this will be up within a week or so, but I am back. I know y'all missed me last week, but was really excited to have Juan Pablo, who's here with me today, step in and speak to Miss Kathy. What an awesome podcast. Really, really so happy that we got to do that. Juan Pablo, how are you? How was recording without me? Did you miss me?
Of course I missed you, but nevertheless, it was really fun to talk with Miss Kathy about direct mail marketing. And I hope you guys can go check it out. It's the podcast number 14. And then we're excited about today's episode as well.
Absolutely. So today we're going to talk a little bit about thinking quarterly. This is something that if you've ever been in sales, you get trained in pretty quick. Same if you've ever worked in like accounting. There's definitely some industries where you learn to think quarterly, and it's something that happens kind of, I wouldn't say naturally, I'd say it's quite forced upon you. But for a lot of us out there, you know, I was talking with my wife about this, who's been in healthcare her whole career. She doesn't know anything about thinking quarterly. It's just not part of how she thinks. That being said, we think here at AlphaCo that it's a really important mindset for helping us understand the cyclicality of business and of closing deals, but also of understanding your patience, your marketing efforts, and how to adapt, change, and review so that you can get a little bit better every year. But before we jump into that, we always talk a little bit about our personal life. Juan Pablo, what's going on with you?
Man, I've been enjoying the spring training with my son, getting outdoors with my daughters.
All fun.
Yeah, just enjoying every day before it gets to 100 degrees here in Texas.
My goodness, it's coming for us fast, the 100 degree days. At least here in Austin, spring also happens to be rainy season. So it's been a lot of nice weather in the rain. But gosh, I am not looking forward to summer. I understand why people flee the state from basically May to August. Let's say June to August. But it is about to be very hot. Speaking of which, I am kind of looking for a house right now. Aaron and I are feeling pretty settled and we're enjoying where we're at in life and looking to get into a house. But it has been, man, what a crazy experience. I'm not in real estate, happy to not be in real estate, though I'm confident in real estate. They think quarterly as well. I think it's maybe a tough quarter for real estate agents right now between that news and interest rates being what they are. But we are having a good time seeing all the different things that people can do with a home and all the different ways that people put their own personality into where they live, and then thinking about how we can do the same. You know, obviously buying a house is not the same as marketing, but I do think that when you decorate a house, when you live in a house, whether you realize it or not, you brand it to yourself. You're making a statement about who you are and how you are in the world. And so I think about, like, I find myself applying some of the same principles that we apply in good design to, you know, looking for a house and thinking about that. Like, all right, how do we say who we are here? How do we get a little bit of ourselves, a little bit of our personality, our brand into this house? How can this be a place that we feel good about and also that we feel good showing to other people? And it's funny because those are the same questions that we ask our clients when we're building a website.
Man, you know, on that home, I think quarterly really helps maintain the home once you have it. And you see people changing their decorations with the seasons. And we do have four seasons, four quarters for a reason. And, you know, I think it applies on a personal basis, but also in any team level, company or organization.
I totally agree. You know, a couple of things you mentioned. One, I would argue that Texas has four seasons. I think Houston maybe has 2.5, Austin maybe 3 if we're lucky. But yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, it's funny to me that you mentioned that because earlier this year, I guess towards the end of last year, my wife and I were talking about that same deal. Like, hey, as we start to think about buying a house, as we're taking better care of the homes that we live in, there's things that you just have to do that you don't think about, especially when you're renting, you know, like changing the refrigerator's water filter. And so what did we do? We went and we looked up like a cool little list of things to do. And now we have literally a quarterly checklist. So at the beginning of each quarter, just for our home, not for business or anything else, it's like, all right, it's spring. We do spring cleaning in the spring. All right, it's summer. In the summer, we need to fertilize the lawn. And we have these lists where every 3 months we go back and just to kind of help keep our personal lives on track, we're looking at things quarterly as well. Awesome segue, man. Awesome segue. I was going to start talking a little bit about what is a pipeline, but maybe we need to elaborate more just on what even quarterlies and what does that even mean. Do you want to start there with some of your goal setting, or do you want me to help introduce just what thinking quarterly even is?
Yeah, I think I'll start big picture. You know, I like to start by saying that as an organization or business, and even in personal life, we should look to have short-term and long-term goals. And the framework that I'm going to be talking about today talks about a 1, 3, and 10-year plan. That's your clear vision and plan. And that, I know we're going to go for the quarterly, but I just like to think big picture that you do got to think about your long-term goals, and then your quarterly plans are based on that.
That to me is really the big idea. Thinking quarterly is about goal setting, and it's about goal setting, goal reviewing, and goal resetting. It is, to me, a forced way of reviewing what you've just done and planning for what you're about to do. The way I was introduced to the pipeline was very much the traditional way through sales. Before I had ever even graduated college, I was an intern. I worked in the sales group as an intern. And like the first thing they told me was, all right, we're going to measure what you do from, you know, in June, July, and August. And I was like, why? Okay. It turns out that's not even the right quarter. That was just my summer internship, but it already had me thinking in 3 months at a time. And then as I graduated, I start to realize not only were my bonus goals measured to that, and I at first I was like, oh, so you just want me to restart every quarter so that I can keep going and you can keep making me work harder. That's like sort of it. But what I realized the more I learned and the longer I was there was that the work I was doing quarterly, my sales goals quarterly, were actually feeding in to management's quarterly projections, which they were then feeding into, you know, who can we hire moving forward? How can we grow? While I was only seeing a piece of thinking quarterly, which was just sales, the overall organization was seeing the whole picture and how thinking quarterly was allowing them to make goals, try and achieve those goals, check to see if they achieve those goals, figure out why they didn't, what didn't work, adjust, and then move forward to try and meet those goals again this quarter. You know, I know you kind of want to talk a little bit about some of the priorities that we set quarterly. You know, what are some of those?
I like to say we can think of where we want to be a year from now, where we want our organizations to be a year from now. So once we have our 3-10-year goals, we set a 1-year priority and goals, and usually like 3 to 7, you know, something reasonable. With this 1-year plan, you set up SMART goals. And of course, SMART goals mean that they're very specific. You can measure them, put data, like have a scorecard that you can keep up quarterly. You have attainable goals. You know, we're not just going to be a billion-dollar company over 1 year.
Well, that's right. It's important to set goals you can at least, you know, you should stretch, but you should be able to meet them.
Yes, sir, which is a realistic and timely. When setting up the 1-year plan and those goals and priorities, then now we can move into the quarterly, because we will prioritize based on quarter per quarter. Let's say we set up a 1-year plan and we're in January. Well, what is out of those goals, what are the most important that will move the needle the best for the business? And we would choose, you know, let's say 3 priorities. So say we write down 10. 3 priorities that we're going to focus on this quarter. And I want to talk a little bit about a concept by Stephen Covey, who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yeah, great author. He's written a lot of great stuff.
Yes, and you know, this is one of the most well-read books, but he talks about a concept that I saw a college professor show in college, but I wasn't really at the time like, why is she doing this? Well, she brought a jar and she started filling up the jar with these rocks, and then she put pebbles, and then she put sand and water at the end, and she said, what does all this represent? And I'm like, why is my college professor bringing all these things from the field out here?
Looks like represents a jar of,
yes,
dirt and sand is what it represents,
yes,
to me.
But now that I, of course, I read 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, I realized that the concept of the rocks is that in that jar, the rocks are your main priority. The pebble, the sand, the water is day-to-day operations, the fires you got to put out. But quarterly thinking, when we call quote-unquote rocks, is that no matter what's going on the day-to-day, we stay focused on those priorities, those quote-unquote rocks, so that at our quarterly meetings, we can check the scorecard and see where we are at with that.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. I'm a big fan of this. You know, one thing that like, I've got some questions here that I want to make sure I answer as we go along. But the first thing I want to say is when we work with a client, one of the very first things we do is we set up quarterly meetings with them. Now, they don't have to necessarily align with your traditional quarterly dates. You know, it's not necessarily January through March, but we want to talk every 3 months because 3 months is a pretty good cadence to touch base and to review and also to make new goals together. Really, so much of this and what you're mentioning is about building positive habits that allow you to evaluate and grow. But some of the questions that I think of or that I think we might get a lot is like, why are we thinking quarters in the first place? Well, easily enough, I think there's a lot of nature in some of the decisions we make. And the nature here is just that a traditional season is about 3 months, right? It's not anything more complex than that. How do we neatly divide a year 12? Well, you divide it by four into three, and now you've got 3 months at a time. You're thinking quarterly. I think that's a big part of it. You know, if there were 15 months in a year, we might think triannually, but we don't because there's 12, right?
I do want to say something about that there is a psychological effect on thinking of 90 days. Like, we can kind of keep pace of ourselves. Most people can think 90-day in a 90-day world, while thinking a year or that far in the future is kind of hard to maintain your goals and remind yourself. So it's something about creating a 90-day world where we can kind of live and attain those goals and also check our process.
Yeah, and I think that really goes hand in hand with what I'm mentioning, which is, you know, why quarterly? Well, some of it's like, frankly, it's like evolution. I think that people are actually have evolved because of the seasons, just regular seasons, to think, all right, this 3 months is the cold 3 months. You know, if we go back to hunter-gatherer times, they planned 3 months at a time because one was hot, one was mild, one was cold, rinse, wash, repeat. And so now you're just in the habit of thinking that way. And so I do think that that's a big part of it.
I wanted to add that, you know, it takes us about a quarter or 8 to 12 weeks to finish a website. And usually that once we publish our first phase of work, we go into another 90-day rotation of like, okay, what digital marketing products do we apply for you during this quarter? And it's just, we go into that process of thinking of a 90-day world, but a lot of, there's like individual weeks in within.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are continuing to separate. And again, what I want to stress here is I do think that the 90 days is important. I think 3 months is important. I think thinking quarterly is important. However, I don't think it's actually the most important takeaway from this. I think the most important takeaway is that you set up regularly scheduled interviews to evaluate your goals, what you've done, what you want to do, and how far away you are from achieving them. For us and for a lot of organizations, it's just really nice and neat to think quarterly because, frankly, so much of the rest of the world does too, right? And so you can just kind of play ball and really set up nice, neat opportunities for you to review your own work and review yourself. One question I do want to address, and then I know we have even more to discuss, but when I talk about quarterly stuff with folks, they're always like, well, I'm not in sales. Why does this even matter for me? It matters for everybody. You know, I think what we talked about right at the beginning, like totally unrelated to anything work, but we're buying a house and we're talking about how do you keep a house clean and people are naturally setting up quarters. That has nothing to do with sales. That has to do with dust in my shelves. But if I can do that every 12 weeks, I'm setting up a really nice routine, a really nice pattern and a habit for myself that I can follow that's going to help ensure success moving forward, right? And so, you know, does it matter if you're in sales? No, it doesn't. Thinking quarterly is a way of organizing your mind for continued improvement. Right.
Yes, sir. And you mentioned about establishing that quarterly meeting or review. And I think that this is highly important that you have to schedule a day in the year every 3 months that you have a set up a frequency of meetings where you evaluate where you are at with each goal and priority, what has been done and accomplished. And you pat yourself in the back and your team, identify issues that have come up, but also the yearly goals. And in your marketing campaign, in your development of your business or organization, if this team has a format and it has a frequency, you're more likely to attain your goals at the end of the year than if you don't. On that, I highly recommend that in these meetings, there's a format that has a scorecard so that you can see like the metrics as you were talking about, how that individual numbers that somebody was tracking, you were tracking on your own department in the sales in the pipeline, fed into a whole, what is the company, is the organization, is the family going in the right direction towards the year?
Yeah, and I was just going to add, so we use a framework called EOS that really helps us. It really helps us plan, evaluate, review. It actually goes further than quarterly, though we're breaking it down into quarters as well as part of what we do. But I don't think it has to be EOS. I think any framework will work, but it does need to be a framework. I think that creating or having some sort of rubric that helps you better identify what your goals are, better break down how to achieve those goals, and then better review your progress on achieving those goals, that helps. It just absolutely supercharges any efforts that you have when it comes to marketing review, when it comes to business review. Honestly, when it comes to reviewing, you know, quality of work or quality of management, you know, we send out our employee surveys once a quarter so that our team can tell us how we're doing, because we constantly want to be improving our management as well. And so it does just create, and again, the framework is not important. Having a framework is important. Having a plan, taking the time to write this down, to check back on it, that's what's important. It makes you, it forces you think about yourself and critically evaluate your own work as well as your organization's work in a way that really you can't get anywhere else. You can't get without this type of structure, this type of organization.
Yes, you're right. You know, they say, we used to say it in the Marine Corps that there are many rifles like this, but this one is mine. And the guy that introduced the EOS to me, he's a Marine, and he said, there are many operating systems out there, but this one is mine. And he stressed that. He said, you can, as long as you have something that, and you can make your own, but as long as you create a, even in a spreadsheet or the old school chart with the marker that you go, you fill up all the way to the top, but something that can keep you on track, whether, like I mentioned, whether we're running a phases through a marketing campaign or whether you're building your yearly goals, something that will keep you accountable and keep communication open and also tracking that you're hitting your goals.
Agreed. And so I do want to bring this a little bit back to marketing, to what we do. You know, how do we create a good, like, thinking quarterly marketing plan? Well, the first thing, if you don't have one already, start today. Doesn't matter. It's May 2nd. We're almost halfway through the second quarter here. Doesn't matter. Start today. You can backfill. You can work until next quarter, whatever. Start today and get yourself going. The next thing I would do, write down goals for, you know, I think Juan Pablo, what you laid out at the beginning, 1, 3, and 10 years is great. If you want to go something a little bit more manageable, 1, 3, and 5, I think makes sense as well. The 3 and the 5 or the 3 and the 10, you know, those are great. Those are aspirational. Those are future. Honestly, those are meant to change. Those are meant to be flexible. Those are ideas that you have, but you're supposed to use today's data to better inform those decisions. That being said, the year goal, that is tactile, that is timely, and that needs to be reachable and achievable within the year. What I suggest, make yourself a one-year goal, break it down into quarters. If in 1 year from today, I want to be on the first page of Google for 20 different search terms, what do I need to do? Well, let's break it down. In month one, we need to start making friends online. We need to start building and generating backlinks. We need to make sure that our website is popular enough for Google to find it and then to promote it. We also need to make a plan. What are the keywords we want to go after? What keywords make the most sense to us? Make that plan and go ahead and start executing. Say to yourself, how long does this take to execute? Okay, I know that at 3 months, I'll have some data, but I'm not going to have enough data to make a full decision. So it's 6 months. That's our hardcore. 3 months is a tweak. 6 months is a hardcore review. 9 months is a pivot if required, right? And say these things to yourself. And then at those intervals, go back and check. Am I meeting my goals? All right. At month 6, I only have 2 of my 15 planned keywords. Is that still reasonable? Is it still reasonable to get to 15? What do I need to change to get there, right? And set these goals out. Maybe it's ads. Maybe you want leads. Maybe you want 20 leads and you say, all right, first thing I'm going to start with is ads. Ads didn't work. We'll try something different. Whatever the case is, write down your goals. Write down how you want to get there. It's important that you write down how you want to get there. Break it down into as micro fractional of steps as you possibly can, honestly. You know, I don't necessarily recommend this, but I have seen and am confident that they are successful people who literally write down in a quarter every single business day what they plan to do. Now, life comes at you fast. These things change, but you can be so granular as to say, I'm going to wake up at 7 a.m. every day, and at 7:15, I'm going to be doing X, Y, and Z. By 8, I'm going to be doing A, B, and C, so on and so forth, and you can do that every day. Review at the end of the quarter. Check to see where you are. It is a process of making goals, working towards those goals, checking on your progress towards those goals, reevaluating and remaking goals.
I want to add something that every quarter, every season, you're going to have fires, urgencies, new circumstances. So there's a process that is called IDS that is like at the quarterly review. We have this new issue that we didn't think about before and this new circumstance, external or internal. And you identify, discuss, and set up a plan to solve it, and you include it into your goals and priorities. So you do have to be a bit flexible. You're thinking long-term, thinking short-term, but having a bit of flexibility in case COVID hits or anything like that.
Absolutely. Well, Pablo, I know we've gone through this one quick. Is there anything else that you wanted to say about thinking quarterly before we sign off for the day?
Yes, it's just something that, you know, you said write them down, and I want to add to it a little bit. Write down your goals. Set up, I would say, three things. One is this a specific objective, which we have the goal written down. And two, who is a clear owner within your organization, team?
Accountability.
Yes.
Yes. Accountability is so important.
Somebody will be at the quarterly meeting answering. It doesn't have to be always the person doing it, but somebody that can move the ball and get the ball rolling and can own. So a priority owner, and then a timeline, of course, which we all need.
I was just going to say, I'm glad you brought that stuff up because it's really important to better understand how to do it successfully. Accountability is super important. Specific, like getting that tactical is really important. So I'm glad you threw that in there. The other thing I was going to say is this is just such a big topic. We're given the Sparksnosity, a SparkNote version of this, but it's definitely something to think about more and to evaluate more if you're interested. Because it will absolutely supercharge your operation, whether it's strictly, maybe you work in a warehouse and you just want to like organize better, think quarterly.
Yes, sir. You know, I kind of to summarize a little bit, a recap, it's we write down our goals, long-term goals, 1, 3, and 5 or 10 year. We check out our priorities. What are the goals we want to accomplish for the year? We break them down into quarters. With priorities, and we set up a cadence of meetings, set up who's going to be the owner of that specific objective, and support each other. I want to finish up that there's a big thing on this is that you got to move into execution, and a quote by Steve Jobs that says, simple can be harder than complex. You have to work hard to get your thinking clean to make it simple. You know, that quarterly planning and thinking has to do with like, you have to think hard to think about how to simplify that into like the steps that your team, your organization can see clearly. And then from there, go into execution because many goals go lost. But if you keep track of yourself and you go into movement, get going. Like you were saying, get writing, get going and just review. And even if sometimes we might accomplish 1 out of 10 goals, but just that review alone can get the ball rolling again for the next phase, the next quarter.
You said like the execution phase, and I just kind of want to pair that with the idea of follow through. It's not enough to sit down and make your goals at the beginning of the year and then not review them quarterly. You know, you can make a 10-year plan, but if you don't look at it again for the next 10 years, it's not done a whole lot of good for you. The follow through is absolutely essential. So before we talk a little bit about our pop culture and we do our sign off, I don't do this typically, but I wrote down what my big takeaway from today was, and I'm just going to kind of fell in love with what I wrote here. So I'm going to read it because I think that it really is a great way to think about just organizations in general. So my big takeaway is you always have to be evaluating, reevaluating, and improving. Separating the year into 4 quarters helps you understand progress, track goals, and provide well-spaced incentives. It also helps you better understand the seasonality of our economy. By thinking in this way, we create regular intervals for thinking about how we can best succeed. I just think that it is a great way to shape your mind to better operate within our world, as well as organize your thoughts for success moving forward. Thinking quarterly and the frameworks that we can apply to kind of this quarterly thought process, I really do think help to organize us for success. I had this conversation Gosh, who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody on the team earlier about a ski trip I had. And on the ski trip, somebody told me, if you don't make a decision, the mountain will make it for you. And I think that's like really good advice. I think if you're not thinking quarterly, if you're not making plans, life's going to make those plans for you. So this is a great way to get what you want out of your circumstances and out of your job or your business or your marketing plan. It is a way to impose your will on the mountain, if you will. All right, man, we did not talk about this in advance, so this is going to be a surprise. What pop culture are you engaging with lately? What have you been doing?
Okay, every year I start with the Formula One season. I started watching that, enjoying that. Of course, there's some weeks in between. I watch UFC, and then just wanted to touch briefly on, I think my mom lives with me and she watch TV in Spanish. So I started getting served YouTube ads in Spanish, and my wife is like, how do they know you speak Spanish? And I, you know, from the marketing that I know, knowing a little bit in between what happens in the back end of this whole algorithm, it's like, because my mom watches in Spanish and I live on, we're watching under the same IP address, I start to get these YouTube ads in Spanish, which I think is pretty cool.
That is funny. Kind of to that, you just from working here, I get Spanish content all the time. If I navigate to like take Instagram, if I'm logged out and I go to Instagram, Instagram serves it to me in Spanish. I get served like as when I'm not logged in and they don't have my info, they think that that's, yeah. So I get served that same thing. That's really funny. I don't know what it is. They've got our cookies somewhere. maybe they're listening. I don't know.
tell us about.
Yeah.
What you've been up to.
Yeah, the only other thing I was going to say, watching a lot of hockey these days. Hockey playoffs are upon us. I've been playing a little more hockey lately, watching a little more hockey. The thing that it's made me think of most, though, is a concept that we talk about a lot, is the micro-niching of people's interests. I know exactly zero people outside of the hockey community who watch hockey, and then I look at the ads and I look at the content that's served to them. It is so hyper-specific. There is no such thing as like mass marketing anymore. Like I can't think of a single commercial for the NBA I've seen while watching a hockey game. Just really fascinating to me how, again, we're now identifying by interest groups more than geographic location or education or anything else. So interest groups, and watching how tailored and catered the messaging is to interest groups is really, really fascinating to me. I mean, I get from literally just from going to an ice rink, I get served so much hockey content and so much stuff that I wasn't otherwise. Really fascinating. But we are in a micro-niched, micro-marketed economy. You are being sold to based exactly on your interests. It is a good lesson for us. We got to nail our consumer profiles. We really have to understand our clients and who their patients are and who comes to see them, and use that to build our marketing plan, because there is no one size fits all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Reminded me of the AI conversation when we talked about how ads will be served in the future. You might have your own face with your preferred shoes and you prefer hockey gear or snowboard gear, and that is only being served to you because of your preferences. So
right. Like an ad in the future where it's literally a picture of you with, you know, clothes from, you know, you've got the new Yeezys on your feet.
Curated.
You've got new Levi's on, you've got a brand new sweater on, and it's like, this is what you could look like if only you clicked on each of these articles and bought them. Yeah, that's interesting. Wow, cool. Awesome episode today. Really great talking with you as always, Juan Pablo. Thank you so much for being here. To all of our listeners out there, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. There's more to come. We're going to keep growing. We're going to do even more of these episodes. We're going to try and bring you even more interviews. I really hope you guys loved last week's episode. We want more of that. If you're interested in joining the pod, reach out to us. Drop us a line on the website. We'd love to have you. We're always looking for new guests. Everybody else, like and subscribe on Apple or Spotify. You can find us on social media, or you can check out our website, alphacomarketing.com. This has been Graham and Juan Pablo. End transmission.